Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
What is it that makes us to miss the presence of God? Why would we go through life devoid of God's presence when this is the ultimate thing that is going to help us live fulfilled and live fruitful in our own lives? Today we want to look at one major aspect that causes God's presence to be absent in our lives. And that is broken altars. So our subject today is broken altars, the reason for the absence of God. Let us pray and ask God to help us as we endeavor to look at broken altars, the reason for the absence of God. Our Father, we are grateful for an opportunity again to hear and to listen to your word. Lord, when you drew us from our sin unto yourself, you breathed upon us. Your own face shone upon us. We enjoyed the closeness of your walk. We enjoyed the closeness of your presence. But as we have walked on in life, we face the struggles that accompany the absence of God. And Lord, today I pray that you will help us to get back to you. I pray that you'll help us build our altars again, that you'll draw your people, that we may realize that we can enjoy life one more time. We can be fulfilled even as we walk through life today. So speak to us, minister to us, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name. Broken altars, the reason for the absence of God. There is an interesting encounter that is recorded in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. I would like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 even as we continue talking. In this incident, Israel had departed from the Lord, and that apostate nation was now under God's own hand of judgment. The prophet Elijah had prayed and God had shut the heavens for a span of 3.5 years. And God's own children were now under that cruel leadership of a very wicked king called King Ahab. Many had reverted to serving an idol called Baal. And the worshippers of Baal, of course, were people who were wicked, people who did not know the true God of Israel. And people were hiding themselves. Some worshipped in caves. There are those who worshipped Baal and erected and created even calves, false images and false idols, which were made by human hands. But at this particular point, the temple of God remained very deserted. And so, within this very nation, at that very time, the Bible records that there were 7,000 godly individuals who had not bowed to Baal. They had not bowed down to any false god. God had used Obadiah, a man who had feared God greatly and one who had even served in the king's courts, King Ahab's own courts. God had used the prophet Obadiah to hide and to feed 100 of those 7,000 who had not bowed to Baal. You see, God was not going to stand and just to watch those who were following idol worship, those who were participating to usurp his power. He was not going to watch them thwart the power of his own presence. He was not going to let them molest his people so that his people would live under bondage forever. So at this particular time, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, he decided that it was time for his own people to know who was true and who was false. If he was God, then they would know God was God. And if Baal was God, he was also going to make that very known. So in this chapter, God instructed the prophet Elijah to show himself to that wicked man Ahab, the king of the times. And if you look at their own salutation, it gives you a revelation of what was going on. Look at how they greeted one another in verse 18 to 19. And it came to pass that Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And look at Elijah's answer. Elijah answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And if you follow what happened, the salutations were like, stay in your own camps. Elijah followed up and decided, instead of staying in our own camps, let me propose a challenge to King Ahab. Look at the challenge that he proposed in verse 18. He told him, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah, who had neither bowed his knee to worship idols nor wavered in his commitment to God, stepped out in God's power. Look at what he said. Verse 21, how long hold ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And you look at verse 21, how it concludes. It says, and the people answered him not a word. Everybody remained silent. And then at that point, Elijah ordered that the 450 prophets of Baal be given a bull so that they would present to their gods. And likewise, he too was going to take a bull and he would present it to Yahweh, the great I am. The bulls were prepared and they were laid on the altar. They were going to be laid on the altar without fire. The prophets of Baal would call on their God so that he would bring down fire and then consume their offering. And then lastly, Elijah would also call on his God. And the God who would answer by fire would be God. He would be worshipped and everybody would know that that was the true God. You look at the account, the prophets of Baal took the very initial stage and then they began to prepare their bull. After preparing, the Bible says they called on Baal from morning till evening without an answer. They cried, they screamed, they begged. They even cut themselves and pleaded for a response, but there was no answer coming. Then Elijah, this man of God who knew the outcome of all who seek after false gods and falsehood, he mocked them. Look at what he told them in verse 27. Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. So he ridiculed them. But then time came for the man of God to show Israel what it was going to take to bring back the presence of God to them. Elijah called all the people to get close. And then he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken for a long time. He took 12 stones according to the number of the sons of Jacob. And remember, these are the children. Those are the same ones whom God had given the name Israel. And so with those stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And then he made a very large trench around it. He put the wood in order. He cut that bull into pieces and then laid it on the wood. Elijah went ahead and asked the people to pour 12 pots of water on the sacrifice and on the wood. The Bible records that the water soaked the altar, it soaked the sacrifices, and it flowed right there even into the trenches. And then at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah lifted his eyes to God and he prayed. I want you to follow the prayer of Elijah right there in verse 36 and 37. Elijah prayed and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And at the end of that prayer, the Bible also records that the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt offering. It consumed the wood. It consumed the stones. It even consumed the dust. It licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw that, they all fell to their faces. And look at what they said in verse 39. The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You know, Elijah was not on a one-man show, as it may seem here. I want you to take note of what Elijah did and let us take some spiritual cues from it. An important aspect that Elijah recognized and went for. The Bible says he repaired the altar. Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken. This was the altar that had been set on the high place where true worship was going to take place. This is where God's children worshiped their father. I want you to note that Elijah did not put his sacrifice on Baal's own altar. He could not anticipate results from a holy God by putting his sacrifice on that unholy altar. And then I also want you to note that using the 12 stones is a numerical symbolism that cannot be overlooked. All the children of Israel descended from the 12 tribes of Israel. These were the sons of Jacob. You may ask, why didn't Elijah erect a new altar? The rebuilding of that old altar in the name of the Lord was symbolic too. Even though paganism, even though Baal worship was the order of the day, the people needed a reminder that God was still God. He was still the God of Israel, and he was also available to all who would seek and all who would go on for him. All who would call on him would be found of him. God had promised, and he was going to stay true to his word, that he was not going to turn a deaf ear to all who turned from Baal to follow the true God. God was very present, and he was ready to stand with all those who would follow him as long as they walked within his prescribed orders. That is why it was necessary to repair that old altar. No need to erect a new altar. But let me pause here and ask this question. Do you have a working altar for yourself? Restoring the presence of God in our lives and in our times will call for rebuilding of altars of worship God is available. In fact, God is waiting to commune with his children. We are living in an age today where altars of worship have been broken. You look at the spiritual blindness in our own nation, and it testifies that the altar is broken. Godlessness, sensuality, callousness of heart. These are prevailing issues that point us to altars that have been broken, to altars that are very inactive, not in use, or to altars that displease God. You bring it down even more, and you'll find that the desperate states of our own homes also point to broken altars. You know, the coldness and even that callousness that is depicted in our own hearts still point to the absence of an altar, or even to the brokenness of God's altar in our own life. Do you have a private altar? Are you in the habit of seeking God? Are you in the habit of following God daily? Do you have a place where you worship, where you meet God on a day-to-day basis? You know, you will find help at the altar. There is healing, there is strength at the altar of God. It is at the altar that you tune in to hear from God. It is here that he instructs us in the way in which we should go. Your direction and your courage will be found at that altar. It is also right there at the altar that you can submit your plans to God. It is right there that God will help you to map out your success. Successes in life are mapped out at the altar of God. When man is left to himself, you will find that the spirit of man is haughty, it is very rebellious. But it is at the feet of God that the flesh is subdued. I want you to look back at the account of Elijah and notice how he proceeded to drench the sacrifice and the altar with water. There is no man who could take credit for the fire that God sent to consume the sacrifice. When the fire of the Lord fell, there was no doubt from where it had come. That is why everybody fell to their faces. That is why they would cry out and say, "Yes, this is the one and true God." The flesh seeks preeminence. In fact, the flesh cries out for opportunities. But it has to be held in subjection to God before you can see God move again. Your own body, your own spirit, and even your own mind is going to fight your pursuit for God. You must subdue your body in order to seek, in order to find God. You have to get to the point where you purposefully, in your own heart, decide that you're going to seek God. And that is because God is found by those who seek him diligently. I found out that it is very easy to sacrifice. Very easy to sacrifice. And as a matter of fact, we live in a generation that is very quick to sacrifice. But you know what? I've also found out that you can sacrifice many things to God, but never have him accept any single sacrifice from your hand. If your heart is far removed from it, don't offer the sacrifice to God. If there is no hunger to pray, if there is no hunger to seek him, if your heart is just on a rebellious mission, a rebellious pursuit, don't sacrifice. You know, if your will is just your own, and if you just want to do as you please, you do it irrespective or regardless of what God says, don't sacrifice. That is because he is not going to accept it. Just as he put it very clearly in the book of Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, he will blow it away blow it away just the way wind blows away chaff or dirt. But God wants us to rebuild our broken altars of worship. God is drawing and wooing us unto himself. I want you to look at a scripture that gives us God's own promise that we can hold on today as we move towards his presence, as we seek his own face. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, "But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." God has an open door. He doesn't leave doors closed for men to reach him. Is your heart seeking God? A heart that seeks God finds him. When you seek him, you too will behold his beauty. You will behold his presence. Do you desire God's presence? Do you desire his touch on your life? Or do you disqualify yourself like one who is not even a likely candidate for God's presence and use? I want to remind you again that God's presence is not limited to specific people. You can have as much God indwelling you as you desire. You are a candidate for his own presence. But let me finalize or finish by asking this. Do you have a working altar? Do you have a place where you can seek, where you can commune with God on a daily basis? The flesh will be subdued on God's altar. Spiritual blindness is lifted from God's altar. It is at that altar, as you seek God, that you're going to find your healing. And it is also at that altar that your strength will be restored. God's presence abides with those who seek his face. God's presence abides with those who thirst for him. When you thirst and seek him, you will find him. A heart that longs for God hears from God. A heart that tarries in his presence finds him. So get back to the altar. Build your own altar. Get back to your knees. Get back to the presence of God. Get back to the throne of grace, that God may give you help, help that you need, help you need to go through the day. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you today that we have an opportunity to come to you. It is true, it is very easy to sacrifice. It is easy to make up for what we have missed by sacrificing. Sometimes we even sacrifice hoping that we shall make up for our own evil, for that which we have done in violation to your own word, in violation to your own will. But Lord, I pray that we shall not sacrifice when our hearts are not in it. But above all, I pray that we shall not walk away. Instead, we shall go back to the altar where we first met you. Lord, at your own feet, where we first saw the light. When the burdens of our own hearts were taken away, and when we saw you for who you are, a loving Father, embracing his children, desiring to move, desiring to walk, and desiring to abide with his children. So help us get back to prayer. Help us get back to communion with thee. Help us build the broken altars in our own lives, the broken altars in our own families. Help us to build the broken altars in our own churches, in society. Father, help us get back to you. We love you. We exalt you. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.